Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we get started, want to give a special welcome to our visitors.
Amen.
We're very glad that you came to worship with us today. We consider it an honor to have you worship with us. We have a couple of prayer requests that we need to address real quick before we get into the lesson. A big thank you goes out to Don, Kurt, and Tracy getting the bulletin going today. Big thank you for Stacy, you know, for doing it. But the copier back there just would not cooperate, and it took three minds back there. But we got it going. And also thanks for Raven for getting it passed out to everybody. So,
amen.
But we have a couple of announcements. Diamond asked that we keep her sister, Emerald Baskerville, and her household in our prayers. She has recently come down with COVID, and she requests prayers for not only her sister, Emerald, but the family also. And Glenda, got to take these off. Please pray for my, she says, please pray for my son's girlfriend, who was tested for COVID yesterday, and it came out positive. So be sure and keep her and her son in our prayers. Let's go to God real quick on behalf of these, and then we will get into our lesson. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us, both the physical and the spiritual blessings. Dear God, we come right now on a physical nature, asking that you be with some loved ones and family during this time. We've been dealing with COVID for a little over a year now. We ask that you be with Diamond's sister, Emerald. We ask that you be with Glenda's son and his girlfriend. His girlfriend tested positive. We ask that you be with them, help the doctors treat them properly to where they have the least effects. Dear God, many of our family members have been sick recently with COVID. We ask that you be with them. We ask that you be with our son Bobby, who's in the hospital right now with pancreatitis. Please be with them and the doctors. Be with us as we continue our worship to you. Let everything be done in spirit and in truth. We pray through your son Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Don't know if you had heard through the grapevine. I don't think it's been officially announced, but Colin and Nicole and the kids, they're going to be moving to Texas here soon. And a job opportunity came up for Colin, and he accepted it, and they're going to try to move as quick as possible to get the kids enrolled in school and so forth at this time of year before school gets started there in Texas and so forth. So we're officially, here's the announcement, we're going to miss you guys. We thank you for all that you've done with us here, and we hope a little piece of us will go with you to your new home in Texas. Don mentioned it. It's been announced the last few weeks for the kids to make sure you're here. This lesson is designed for you, kids. And I want you to make sure your parents are paying attention to make sure that if they don't understand something in the lesson, you can explain it to them on the way home. Okay? So, kids, this was designed for you. You guys know the old song, Old MacDonald Had a Farm. We're not going to sing it, E-I-E-I-O and all that stuff. But it kind of ties in with us a lot as a Christian. But old MacDonald had a farm, and on that farm, he had a cow. And that cow provided milk, provided cheese. I love cheese. I know me and Sean, we love cheese. Thanks for cows for giving us the milk for cheese. Butter, I love butter. Imagine that. And it even at certain times when in the life of the cow, it can even give us meat. Okay, like that part too. And on that farm, he had a horse and a mule. And the horse and mule, they were very strong. And they did what they did best. They pulled things. They pulled wagons and plows. And if the farmer ever needed something hauled, he would go to Mr. Mule and Mr. Horse. And they may not have been the smartest around, but man, they were strong. Kind of reminds me of somebody I look at every day in the mirror. Not the smartest, but it just lifts stuff. The farmer would even ride the horses. The kids would ride the horse. And as strong as it was, it was very gentle with the kids. And on that farm, old MacDonald had some chickens with a cluck cluck here and a cluck cluck there. They provided eggs and meat. Who doesn't like fried chicken? Who doesn't love scrambled eggs? Love it. They even woke up the farmer each day. They used their voices to wake him up. And on that farm, he had some pigs. I'm not going to look at any individuals. I'm going to keep my head down. They ate the leftovers. They were fruit. Nothing went to waste with the pigs. They were very efficient. They also provided meat. Bacon, ham, pork chops, man, sausage. Sounds good. It's, you know, we got to wrap this up and go. Sermon's over. The rest of the sermon's over. We'll come back tonight. Finish it up. Speaking of tonight, want to invite you all back tonight. We're going to be looking at Genesis, the first chapter. I think you'll be a good lesson for us to look at tonight. Really encourage everybody to come back. And on that farm, he had some sheep. The sheep, they were a little scared, you know, a little skittish, but they were easygoing, very gentle, and they were good followers. Sheep were good followers. They may not have been able to pull the wagons like the horse could, but they were good followers. They provided wool and meat. Mr. Farmer would give them a haircut. Get them short like me and use that wool. And they also provided meat. And on that farm, he had a dog. And that dog protected all the other animals on old MacDonald's farm. And he protected the children. He played with the children. The dog didn't have wool to shear, didn't lay any eggs, but the dog, just like the other animals, did what they could do best. The dog protected the farm, protected the other animals that couldn't protect themselves. There were some other animals around the farm, but they weren't part of the farm. There was wolves and coyotes around the farm. They'd hang around the farm, but they were not part of it. They meant nothing but harm. You'd have the wolves sitting out there looking for maybe those sheep or the chickens to get a little away from everything else where they could pounce on them. All they did was cause trouble. They did nothing for the farm just caused trouble for the farm. And the dog would have to keep an eye out for them. There was magpies and crows. The chickens weren't the only birds around. They would just sit and watch the other farm animals do the work. Sit up in the tree, everybody else doing the work. Mr. Horse doing his thing, cows doing his thing, pigs wallowing in the mud doing their thing. They'd just sit up there and watch. Did nothing, nothing to help the farmhouse. But yet, they'd swoop in and eat some of the chicken food. They only took. That's all they did. They gave nothing to the farm. And they, remember an old saying about how critical and so forth magpies were. A magpie sat in a tree nearby and gazed on the scene with a critical eye. Just sat up there and watched, looked, did nothing. That's old McDonald's farm. Bunch of other animals. I'd like for us to turn to Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. Now, kids, see how this applies to the animals of the farm. And as you look at those animals, see which one fits you. See which kind of animal you were like. This is the Apostle Paul writing. And Paul wrote, starting in verse 4, he says, For as we have many members in one body, kind of like the farm, we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Kind of like those animals. Kind of like the animals on old McDonald's farm. We're all part of the farm. Some of us might be horses. Some of us might be pigs, oink, oink. Some of us might be the chickens, whatever. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. Could you imagine the horse on the farm not doing what horses do? Leaving the heavy pulling to the chickens and the sheep and stuff. And here's Mr. Horse just sitting around eating apples and grain and in the shade, watching the other animals trying to do the work that the horse was designed to do, or the mule. Or imagine the cow, instead of giving milk, trying to lay an egg. That's a long wait. It don't work like that. But Paul said, let us use them, in telling us, use our abilities that we've got. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Whatever it is you're good at, do it. And do it for God, just like the animals. Paul also wrote, not only did he write to the Romans, but he wrote something very similar to the Christians in Corinth, to the Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, he says, for he uses the comparison, the people as the body of Christ. Talks about the body. We have arms, we have legs, we have ears and eyes. And he uses that as an analogy. Now be able, kids, listen up, because the parents may not get this one. And so explain it to them on the way home today. Paul says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and having all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Just like our bodies. We have arms, we have legs, we have eyes and ears, but it's part of our one body. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Just because the hand and the feet do different things, they're still part of the same body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, could you imagine, kids, if we were just one big eye, you couldn't hear anything. You might see something, but how are you going to walk over to get it? If you heard something, but you couldn't see it. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body. God gave us our bodies. He gave us our arms, our eyes, our ears, our toes. God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism. Now, kids, schism is a division, a gap. And God doesn't want us, our body, to be split apart. Could you imagine that? Put a rope on one hand, a rope on another, pulling us apart. We don't want that. God doesn't want that there should be no division, no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. That we are the body of Christ and we're all part of it together. That's the great thing that Paul is talking about here. Jesus gave a lesson in his teaching we generally called the parable of the talents. And starting in chapter 25, in verse 14, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then the one who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Wow, he doubled his money. That's pretty good. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He didn't do anything with it." Remember that verse that we read earlier where Paul said, use it. Use, excuse me, the abilities that you've been given. He didn't do that. He went and hid it. He just buried it. Excuse me. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them." And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Isn't that what we want to hear God say to us? Well done, good and faithful servant. You did what you could do. He did the same thing with the man that had the 2 talents. And he comes to the man that had 1 talent in verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. I'm giving you back the 1 talent you gave me. I didn't use it. I didn't do anything with it. Here it is." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. If you don't want to use it, let somebody else use it. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now here's the part where I want you to be able to explain to your parents. Like old McDonald's farm, we might be a horse, a cow, a mule, a chicken, or whatever. Be the best chicken you can be. Be the best horse you can be. Be the best dog you can be. But just don't sit around doing nothing for the farm. Because if you do, like this parable Jesus said, if you don't do anything, the Lord's going to be mad at you and cast you away. And we're going to end up with this, with the verse our scripture reading from this morning that Colin read, Paul also wrote to the Christians in Colossae, and he says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Amen. Whether you're a horse, cow, pig, or chicken, be the best you can be and do it for God. Be the best you can be. And make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Now, if your parents have any questions at lunch today or driving home, you can explain it to them, because you guys know all about old McDonald and his farm. We've all got talents. Kids, you've got talents. Find them, use them, and use them for God. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if you realize God has given you talents and you have been sitting on your hands doing nothing with them, repent, change. If you realize that you have been studying the Word of God and you realize that you have not been baptized and are not a Christian, do something about that. Don't keep sitting on your hands. Be baptized. If you need prayers of the congregation, we will be more than happy to pray with and for you. Again, I want to encourage you to come back tonight. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go back to the beginning, back to the basics. Kids, thanks for coming today. I've been telling you for a few weeks now, this was for you. Be sure and thank your mom and dad for driving you, because you can't drive yet. Thank them for bringing you. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while we stand and sing. Let's stand.